Welcome to Zuma Worldwide's Health Education Conference Call. This recording is for educational purposes only. The name brand products referenced are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or mitigate any disease or illness. Health testimonies represent the personal experiences of the individuals and should not be viewed as medical advice. Please enjoy today's call.
The purpose of this call is pretty straightforward, pretty simple. It's to give you some information, education, hopefully maybe some inspiration as well, on achieving more health abundance. And what's great about these calls is we cover a lot of different areas of health. This particular call today is going to be one topic that I don't know if we've ever covered, to be honest with you. If we have, it's been a long, long time. So I'm excited about tonight's topic. Glad that you decided to join us. And tonight I get to spend some time with a lady who is part of Zuma's Scientific Advisory Board. She's been a part of the Zuma family for years and years and years now. We're thrilled that she aligns with us for all these years. And more importantly, we're excited because she is in practice day to day in her naturopathic practice there in the state of Georgia. And she's continually growing in that practice as she helps more and more people, not only in the state of Georgia, but all throughout the country through her practice called the Olive Leaf. So I want to make sure she's on the line with us. Dr. Melissa Bennett, are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Are you just fine? I'm excited about tonight's call. I meant that. I don't know if we've ever covered this topic. You know, I've been part of the corporate team here for over 20 years, and I'm trying to think if we've ever actually covered this topic. So this is actually a good one because I don't know if we have anything else that we could point to.
I know. It's really, really cool. And, you know, I was not expecting to have OBGYN who actually is a fertility specialist is the one that actually started referring to me. And I wrote an article, I guess it was like 6 years ago, on getting fit for fertility, and it got published in a magazine called Best Self Magazine. And so I've kind of, you know, I would say focused in that area a little bit, but over the past, I would say, 6 months, it's been something that's really, I'm really seeing a lot more of these patients. So I thought it would be a great topic for Zuma.
It is a good topic. So for those of you not familiar with the topic content tonight, as you can probably get a little hint of from Dr. Melissa, we're going to be talking about fertility. And while those of you who may be listening in tonight, depending on where you're at and what stage of life you're in, you may be past that stage of life where you're maybe you've already, you know, had your children, or maybe you're done, or maybe not even planning to have it. But here's the reality, and I think, Melissa, this is probably something you'll dive into tonight, is there are a lot of people that are in our modern day time struggling with this topic of fertility. So if you're listening in tonight and that's not you, I guarantee you probably know somebody or many people potentially that struggle in this area.
And that's true. And as I'm going through this, I wanted to share a couple of cool stories about some patients that I've had that was pretty miraculous, like having fertility issues and then things just switched. It's really, really neat. And, yeah, I just love, you know, these monthly calls, right? It gives us the time to really go in and kind of talk about how to improve our health. But like you were just saying, also improving the health of someone else, that it may not be something pertaining to you directly, but definitely we all know someone that might be struggling in that area, and there's a lot of great resources out there. So my role as a naturopathic doctor, and I do a lot with, you know, functional testing and seeing patients and lifestyle changes, is getting the body fit for fertility. And people don't think about that a lot. They just, you know, they're not really thinking about that probably when they're trying to have a baby. If everything's going fine, they're just saying, hey, let's have a baby, and then there they go. And the baby's fine, and mom's fine, and everything else. But I see, and what got me interested in this topic actually was I was seeing women come in after they've had a baby, and I would see that their thyroid's out, things were not the way that they were prior to pregnancy. So it made me start focusing on, hey, I need to help these people get fit for fertility, and that's where my practice kind of went. And it's funny, Kim, because it's two spectrums. I've got people coming in getting fit for fertility, and I've got all the people in the middle that are just, you know, dealing with other health issues. And then I've got the cancer patients at the end, and I don't want to call it the end because usually, you know, they're getting better, but it's about recovering from cancer treatment, where you're restoring the body And it's kind of like you're doing the same thing on opposite ends of the spectrum. You're just getting the body built up so that it can, you know, move on and go forward. And so getting fit for fertility is basically preparing your body to get pregnant. So I always tell patients, whether they're trying to conceive now or they're planning for their future, or they simply want to support their, like I said, their overall health, there's things that we're going to talk about today that can make a really a huge, huge difference. And I mean, one of the greatest, I have to say, it's so rewarding. One of the greatest blessings in my practice is helping people who have struggled with fertility and they finally have a baby. And I really believe sometimes the body just needs just the right support in the right environment, and then all of a sudden everything's just going to fall into place and it'll happen. But sometimes it's simple things that can prevent pregnancy, and sometimes it's more complicated. I just wanted to start actually by sharing, this is such an amazing story. I work, like I said, I work closely with this OBGYN. She specializes in IVF therapy, and that's like in vitro fertilization. And Dr. Monica referred a patient over to me who's 51 years old. And this patient had gone through numerous IVF treatments, and the embryo would not implant. And the reason is because she had something basically where fluid was accumulating inside her uterus. So when fluid collected at uterine cavity, you couldn't find it was bad, because at that point the egg, even though they would do the service, it was not able to implant. So it was my job, right, to figure it out. So we have this 51-year-old woman, and she had this issue. So I started focusing on hydration with the X2O sachets, and then I put her on a really low inflammatory diet, and then I started incorporating some TCM, which is like traditional Chinese medicine support, and to help naturally dry up the fluid in the uterus. I'm not going to go into all the details of that. But anyway, three weeks ago, she comes back in, and she's 10 weeks pregnant at 51 years old. And it's just blood flowing away. So what happens after that is the doctor who's referring the patients to me, she comes in as my patient as well, because she's like, whoa, and now she started referring other people over. So it's really cool. That worked out. And it was amazing. And this lady is so excited because she thought she would never have a baby. Now she's having a baby. And that just shows that age. Now I can sit here and say my great aunt was 52 with her 10th baby. I'm talking no IVF, just got pregnant at 52. And that's just crazy to think about. But when we think about numbers, we're always thinking, well, you know, the body's not going to be able to handle it. But really, every person's different depending on their genetics and how they actually have, you know, taken care of themselves. So the lady that I saw was healthy. She had an issue, and she's going to be able to carry the fetus fine because she's focused on making herself healthy prior to doing that. And then on the other end of the spectrum, I had this young couple come in, and they had been trying to get pregnant for like 3 years. And they were both addicted to the Monster energy drinks. And, you know, both of them, I reviewed their lifestyle habits. I discovered that they were drinking those things every single day. So we know that energy drinks, because we have Focus Up, right? And Focus Up is the beautiful alternative to these horrible energy drinks that are out there on the market. So, and it's very disruptive for fertility. And I started to explain, not Focus Up, but the Monster drinks. I started to explain that because it has such high caffeine levels and excess sugar, and there's all these chemicals in there, it's not good. And the way that they kind of fool people is they'll put it there, you know, by serving. They'll say this serving of a Monster drink might have, you know, a certain amount of calories and a certain amount of caffeine or artificial sweeteners and synthetic stimulants. They'll put it in there, but you have to multiply that times eight, because they may be eight servings in a can. So it's misleading, and people get really addicted to it, which is really bad. So research shows that if you take excessive caffeine and it's to a point where it's just over the top like that, it's going to disrupt the hormone balance. It's going to disrupt ovulation, sperm quality, and pregnancy outcomes. So the drinks also increase something called oxidative stress, and that can damage the eggs and the sperm. So their assignment was really, really simple. I just said, stop the energy drinks and improve hydration. You know, we're talking about X2O and nutrition. And not long after making these changes, she became pregnant, they told me. And it was something, you know, so simple. And fertility breakthroughs can start with that simple lifestyle change. So if you know someone out there who's trying to get pregnant and you see them, especially younger people that are trying to get pregnant and they're on the energy drinks, and even the husband's on the energy drinks, that is a great segue to getting them on Focus Up, because Focus Up is going to replace that and it's not going to crash them. It doesn't have all those harsh chemicals in there. And the last story I'm going to share is amazing prayer story where a woman comes in, Ken, and this was years ago, but I'll never forget this story. She comes in, she had 5 miscarriages. And what was really unusual about this is she would have this miscarriage at the same point in each pregnancy. So she was a believer. She comes in and she's like, I've got this whole family of children waiting for me in heaven. She says, well, I want to have one on earth. And so what she did is she asked for me and 2 other people to pray for her. We weren't with her, but at the time that she was going to have that miscarriage, she had let us know to start praying. And we were in different locations, but we all prayed at the exact same time when she normally miscarried. And that happened around Christmas, and the pregnancy continued, and she delivered a healthy baby. And since then, she's had several more children. So, you know, experiences like that remind me that fertility is not just a physical thing. Sometimes it's emotional, community, and faith, you know, just stepped in there, and she was able to have that baby and had multiple babies after that. So, in fact, she was the first one that I actually helped with fertility several years ago that really got me inspired to help people. And the office manager at my practice, she's like, don't talk to Dr. Melissa, or you're going to get pregnant. It was like a thing. it was just happening everywhere. And I'm like, well, the husbands, you know, they got to get involved in this. But anyway, it's funny. But like I was preparing your body, right, for pregnancy, it puts a lot of stress. So a lot of stress goes on. It's an enormous demand on the body for the mom. So for 9 months, people have to think about this, that mom's body, it becomes the baby's like entire world, like the entire environment. And I often tell my patients that the body's going to do whatever it needs to do to support that baby. So basically, the mom is a host to the baby, right? And the baby's living off the mom. And if nutrients are low, the body will pull nutrients from the mother's like bone, hair, skin, and organs. This is why pre-pregnancy health is so, so important. So one thing that I really focus on is hormone balance and inflammation. And I offer, I've spoke about this before, I offer this program called Shape Reclaimed. And it's a great program, and it focuses on reducing this inflammation, and it balances hormones through nutrition along with this little homeopathic drop. So I attended this Shape Reclaim conference years ago, and in one of the sessions, Dr. Todd, he asked the room, he's like, has any of you, how many practitioners out here are seeing an increase in pregnancies after patients complete the SHAPE program or while they're in the SHAPE program? And 76, they counted, doctors stood up. And none of those doctors were planning on getting their patients pregnant. This sounds so bad on so many levels. But they were all practitioners. They were all chiropractors. And they weren't trying to focus on fertility. At least I hope not. I think they were just surprised to see the fertility going up as the inflammation, you know, reduced. So if you reduce inflammation and you balance out metabolism, your fertility is going to improve naturally. And that program, along with the Zuma products, works really, really well for people who are really trying to get pregnant and they haven't really done a dietary change, but they're focusing on, you know, just the aspects of what can I do, what is my next step so that I can get pregnant. I also, once they are pregnant, I really focus on, I talked about the blood type diet here with Eat Right for Your Blood Type, and there's a really good book that I recommend called Getting Fit for Fertility based on the blood type diet, and it's like on Amazon. So the idea behind this approach is different because it's showing that different people respond better to certain foods based on their blood type and their biology. So the goal is simply to find the foods that help your body function best while you're pregnant. And I had a lady that was in her 40s, and I didn't do anything with her except just started with the X2O and eating right for her blood type, and then she was able to get pregnant. But then you run into some harder cases, like the one I was talking about before, where it's a 51-year-old. You'll run into places where you've got to see, you meet the person and you know something's out of balance. That's when I look at micronutrient testing, and I will check like deficiencies in a patient's a blood test. So I check their magnesium, their zinc, their iron, their vitamin D, their B vitamins, and all of these nutrients are essential for egg quality, hormonal balance, healthy pregnancy development, and correcting those deficiencies. I'm going to share a really sad story. Is one of my daughters, she did get pregnant, and they were so happy. They came to my office, and her husband was like showing me a test. He goes, I want you to go over my test, but it was actually her pregnancy test. And I was so super excited. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to be a grandma. But didn't know, you know, when they went in to get the heartbeat, when they got there, there was no heartbeat because the egg, and it's such a fluke, it's such a weird thing, but there is a condition, and it's so rare, I'm like crazy rare, like less than 0.5% of the population have this issue where the egg actually takes two sperms into it instead of one, so the baby, the embryo, ends up with like 63 chromosomes. And it was really heartbreaking. So she hadn't came to me before for getting fit for fertility. But then I wanted to look because they had no problem getting pregnant. But then I was like, well, why did this happen? And doctors were just saying, well, it just happens. And I'm like, no, there is always a reason for something to happen. So what I started looking at for her is her vitamin D levels were extremely, extremely low. Well, we know vitamin D helps support the egg. So it was one of those things where I think all those women that had this condition probably were deficient in something. So now obviously I've been working with her over the last 6 months to get everything built up so that she can be healthy and have a healthy baby. So these nutrients that were that I'm mentioning here, all of those help support the hormonal balance and that healthy pregnancy development. And sometimes I also look at what's known as an MTFHR and folate. So there's these genes that people have. Some people have genetic SNPs of an MTFHR, and basically it means that they do not process folate very well. And as we know, we have to have folate during pregnancy. They stress that. And a lot of there's about, I would say, 30% of the population that might carry that variant, a double variant, one from the mom, one from the dad. And it's really important to find out that before you get pregnant, because folate is extremely important for preventing neurotube defects, and we want to support the brain development with that. So if someone has that MTHFR variant, we often recommended a methylated folate instead of a synthetic folic acid, which basically means that the body doesn't have to break it down because it can't, because it's not able to do that. So we're able to help it by using something that's already broken down. But that is a great test to have prior to pregnancy. And then obviously exercise, super important. Exercise guidelines, you know, you just want blood flow to the reproductive organs. You want to balance out something called insulin sensitivity, making sure that the hormones are balanced, and stress reduction. And research shows that if you are consistent moving, it's going to help support fertility by improving all of those levels. So I recommend people, you know, 30 minutes of moderate exercise at least 3 to 4 times a week, and then walking the other couple of days, maybe a lot of some light strength, you know, strength training. But don't, I always say avoid overtraining. Like there's some gyms out there, I'm not going to mention, but they push you so hard that can cause excess cortisol, which affects everything. So it's better to, if you can handle that type of exercise, then go for it. But if you find yourself feeling like you're just exhausted and you're not recovering well, you may have to kind of, you know, get with someone, a personal trainer or something, or find out, or just back off a little bit and let your body let you know how much exercise it needs instead of you trying to do it and you can't handle that. So very intense endurance training can also suppress ovulation. So you'll see some people that really train hard, they won't have their periods. So that's not going to help with fertility. So if someone's in that mode and they're not having their periods, then they need to kind of maybe back off just a little bit and go from there. And, you know, Ken, have you ever thought about men with fertility? I'm just curious. Is that something that people don't think about that, but men have a big role in that.
You know, you're right. I think it's always a focus on women when a woman can't get pregnant. But like you said, it takes two people to make that happen. And you're right. I think a lot of times men are overlooked. I know of a couple that we knew many years ago that was struggling to have a child. And it turned out that it was the man who was the issue. And there was an extremely low amount of sperm that he was producing, which thus meant that they were really struggling to have a child. And once they were able to correct that for him, suddenly they were pregnant. So I do remember that. It's going quite a few years back, but you're right. I mean, that was something that nobody, I think, was really looking at. And after they exhausted all the things with his wife, they were scratching their head and they're like, well, maybe it's him. They found out it was.
Yeah. With the people, so when I see someone for fertility, I see the man and the woman typically, because fertility, like you said, is just not about women. It's about 40 to 50% of fertility challenges can involve the male. So the men play a really huge role. And so, I mean, I make simple suggestions to them. Like, I'll be like, don't wear your tidy whities, you know, because that's just, they're like, okay. Just talking to them about, you know, wearing looser underwear. The testicles need to stay, you know, just slightly cooler than body temperature for optimal sperm production. And that tight underwear just increases the heat around the testicles and it reduces the sperm. And, you know, some of these things are like, well, that might be an old wives' tale. No, I don't think so. I think because when you can see that it just logically makes sense, and it's not going to hurt anyone to go from, you know, those tight underwear to just more boxers for a little bit. And then I also talk about men maintaining a healthy weight. A lot of times, even when I check the PSA for men, I always check their estrogen. You'll see estrogen start to rise a little bit because people don't check estrogen for men typically, but I'll check it because I'll be like, is there an estrogenic effect happening with this man? And it's going to eventually cause the PSA to rise because they're getting exposed to something that could be mimicking estrogen in their body. So I always, you know, test that. And then reducing alcohol intake is a big thing. Avoiding excessive heat, like hot tubs and saunas, you know, where you just, especially right, not all the time, but before you're trying to have a baby. And then reducing exposure to toxins and plastics. That's a huge thing, like I said, because of those bad xenoestrogens that can mess with their hormones. And then I put them on specific, you know, zinc and selenium and omega-3s always, and then regular exercise and help their nutrition. And that's going to improve their sperm count, the motility of the sperm, and the quality of the sperm. So it's really, if you think about it, men do have a big role to play, and they want their sperm to be healthy, and that's a good way of doing it from that standpoint. And then I always use high quality, like prenatal vitamins, some foundational supplements, like I was talking about, is that X2O, because we know it supports hydration, that mineral balance at a cellular level, and it helps with circulation, just circulating, getting your body hydrated, which is a huge, huge part of everything. If you're not hydrated, nothing's going to work the way it needs to. So hydration is key. I don't care if you're trying to lose weight. I don't care if you're trying to have a baby. If you're not hydrated, then everything else is just not going to work the way it should be. So another one that I put is probiotics. I love that little product because that's going to support the gut health. Again, immune balance, we're going to keep the immune system strong. And then the omega-375 provides that omega-3 fatty acid, and that supports hormone balance, and that's important for fetal brain development. So these are like really good foundational products, and I think they're good. And I also, like I was saying, Focus Up is excellent as well, especially if they're addicted to something that's on, you know, from there. Can you think of any more, any product that I missed out on? Because I was trying to figure out with Zuma because those four are the ones that I usually go to.
Yeah, no, I think you're definitely on the right track. I mean, obviously, hydration seems to be like the one thing that I think nobody connects to fertility, but like you said, it's so critical for so many things. One of the things you mentioned earlier about the methylated version of folate versus folic acid, and you know, in our Life Source multivitamin, one of the great things about it is all of the sources of vitamins and nutrients in there are the methylated form. So like as an example, when it comes to the folate, we're using the 5-methylfolate, which is, you know, the one that, again, everybody is able to absorb and use, you know, even if they've got that challenge with methylation. So again, not that, you know, Life Source is necessarily a prenatal vitamin, but somebody taking Life Source definitely is getting methylated versions of those vitamins. The one thing that I was thinking about when we were preparing for this call, and you just mentioned the omega-3 fatty acids, and I think a lot of people, until they're struggling with fertility issues, don't realize until, you know, their healthcare practitioner makes them aware of it, that their hormones are, in fact, based in healthy fats. And here you've got an omega-3 fatty acid that supports, like you said, a lot of areas of fertility. But if you think about it from a society standpoint, for years and years and years now, we're just finally turning the corner where we're finally getting back to what I would call sane, sensible dietary advice. But for the longest time, we were telling people low fat, low fat, low fat, right? And what do we replace the fat with? Well, the food industry replaced the fat with, of course, carbohydrates and sugars. And so we had people running around for decades that were woefully underserved in healthy fats, which meant they're just not able to produce their hormones as efficiently, as effectively, of course, as they once were. So here we are, we're finally getting to a place where now we're looking at, hey, you know, good fats are good again. They're healthy, but think about the hormonal damage for the last few decades that's been done to young couples that are trying to get pregnant and have a child, that they're running on empty, so to speak, when it comes to that. And then compound that with the fact that so many people, even at younger and younger ages, are being prescribed the statin drugs to lower their cholesterol. Again, another precursor, of course, that we've got to have for that healthy hormonal development. And I love that you brought up the fact about guys and the estrogen level, because you know, it used to be a man would become more estrogen dominant as they were in their later years. But now, because of all of the junk in our food supply, and like you were saying, the xenoestrogens and the plastics, it's amazing how many young men of childbearing years trying to have children are estrogen dominant, right? And they you know, they can't figure out why they can't produce a child. It's because they're so high in estrogen that they're killing off the manlyhood. Yeah. And I'm hearing these things and it's just so crazy how much junk has been, you know, inflicted on young generations of people who have struggled to have children. The one thing I would add to that, and I'll pass it right back to you, is obviously you mentioned inflammation as an example, and keeping inflammation at bay not only is it great for a multitude of reasons, but as you know, it's also good for improving fertility. And so obviously that's where a product like the CardioZyme would come in to support that high anti-inflammatory effort. So that's the only thing I could think of beyond what you've already mentioned that might be also helpful for somebody who's struggling with fertility issues.
I mean, even starting, and the Life Source vitamin is a good point, because they may switch them over. Well, I personally switch them over to a different prenatal, but prior to getting pregnant, that is a great foundation, because it not only has, I don't know if people know this about that supplement, but it has the vitamins and it also has the adaptogenic component to help with stress in there, and it has the fruits and berries and everything. It's a really, really good, well-rounded multivitamin. I started my 88-year-old aunt on that vitamin, and she's very happy with that. She's been ordering it like every month. And I'm sorry, not my aunt. I've got my aunt with me. It was her cousin. So it's my third cousin. You know, we're in the South. We're all related here. But it's third cousin. She's 88 years old. And she loves that vitamin. But for a pregnancy or pre-pregnancy, that's a great foundation. Just having that, it's well-rounded. If you have just that prenatal or that vitamin, that multivitamin Life Source, the omega 375, the probiotics, that's a good foundation. Adding in the X2O is going to keep the hydration. And then if they're, you know, obviously, folks, stuff is good for any, but especially those that are on those horrible energy drinks. And, you know, that's the thing, Ken, about Zuma. From the moment, and it's been years, you know, the whole goal of Zuma is to change the health of a generation. And how better to think that you can change the health of a generation by helping people actually get healthy before they have the new generation? It's kind of like a circle. It's like if you're able to do that, you're really targeting a new generation of people that are going to be a lot healthier than the preceding generation, because everything's been so upside down in our food industry for so long. And you're right, we're finally getting back to a place where there's a little common sense here. It's so refreshing, but really, really crazy to think about how we have the ability to impact that. And I always say, you know, too, yeah, I just want to leave you guys with this one thought, because when you think about fertility, we focus entirely, we often just focus on the seed, the egg and the sperm, right? But in nature, we have to focus on the soil. So when you think about it, the egg and the sperm are the seeds, and your body is the soil. So if you plant a seed in the dry soil, or that soil lacks nutrients, the seed's not going to grow. But if you prepare the soil first, and if you water it, you nourish it, you give it the right environment, that same seed's going to grow into something amazing. So that's how the human body is, right? It's the same exact way. The egg and the sperm are important, but the environment of the body matters just as much. So when you reduce inflammation, you support the hormones, you nourish the body, and you're moving regularly, and you take care of your emotional and your spiritual health, you're basically preparing the soil for the seed. It's so cool. And over the years, I've seen so many couples who thought pregnancy was never going to happen. And then once their bodies were supported in the right ways, they, you know, welcome a child. So these moments are amazing for me. I just love when someone gets pregnant. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I feel like it's obviously we give all glory to the Lord, but I just felt like I played a little part in that. And it just makes me feel like so good. It's just such a good feeling. And it's because you're bringing that new life into the world. And it's just one of the most extraordinary things the human body can do. So, if you're trying to conceive now, or if you know people who are and they're planning for their future, or they're just, you know, working together for better health, every step that you take that to take care of your body matters, no matter how little it is. You're just preparing your soil. And that's just a great place to begin. So I think if we look at it that way, then we know that it's going to give us a perception of your body's like a, you know, a nice garden. And you gotta take care of it. You gotta water it well. You gotta, you know, make sure it's fertilized correctly, all this stuff. And then once you do that, it's going to be able to carry life forward. But anyway, that is all the information I have. I think I stayed on time. I know I talk really fast, but I love to get all this information in such a short time.
Well, I'll throw out one more thought there, Melissa, that definitely applies to our talk tonight. And that's this. Anybody that's ever known somebody that had to use in vitro fertilization or was even considering it knows that that is a very expensive way to try to have a child. So what we're talking about tonight could be the difference maker between somebody, you know, just getting better care of their body and letting it happen naturally as it should, versus having to resort to something like in vitro fertilization, where that adds a huge price tag to go along with it. So, you know, the old, you know, expression of prevention is certainly a lot more affordable than cure. So this would be maybe another inspiration for people who are trying to have a child to take better care of themselves, because they can avoid that excessive cost of an in vitro fertilization.
Yes, and the hormones and everything that has to happen, you know, to get to that point, it's a lot for a person to go through. Before I forget, I wanted to plug, my daughter Sydney and I have started a new podcast, and it's on Spotify, and it's called The Olive and the Lamb, and it's honest talk, restorative health, and remarkable miracles. So we're sharing, like, first sharing my story and then sharing our stories. Then we're going to start interviewing people related to those topics. So it's going to be really encouraging for people to listen to. And right now I'm going through just my backstory of going through chemotherapy and all of that, and how God moved in during that time. So I wanted to share that with you guys.
Thanks for sharing that. So they would just go to Spotify and look up The olive and the lamb?
Yeah, the olive and the lamb. And the first episode explains how we came up with that name. All right.
Cool. Well, hey, Melissa, as always, I appreciate you taking your time and sharing some of your thoughts and your wisdom with us tonight. Like I said, this was a great call because I think this is the first of its kind that we've done in Zuma. So I appreciate you tackling this very important topic for those people who really need to hear it.
Awesome. Well, you have a wonderful night, and I'm glad I could share.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening in tonight. Appreciate you guys tuning in live. And as always, encourage you to come back first and third Thursday every single month. We do this call, and we do it for you. And, of course, if it doesn't apply directly to you, as many of you know, we record these, so that you can go ahead and share this recording with anybody that you think might be able to benefit from this information. So we certainly hope you'll do that. Till then, take care, everybody. Talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.